Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to thank the Lord for giving me the time to share with you God's word this morning. And I want to thank Pastor Vaughn, Prophet Vaughn, for giving me this opportunity to minister God's word in his pulpit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the Holy Spirit who abides in us, who shows us all truth and guides us into all truth. Thank you, Lord, for anointing your hearts to be receptive to your holy word, anointing your ears to hear what your spirit is saying to us in Jesus' name. Thank you for thinking through my mind and speaking through my lips. And Father, I give you all praise and glory in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior in April of 1976 at a student's camp. And in June of 1977, I was riding in a bus and I was reading a Christian book written by a certain pastor from from the States. And he was sharing on how he received the Holy Spirit. And he gave some instructions in the book on how to receive the Holy Spirit. And I prayed in the bus and I received the Holy Spirit. And I spoke in tongues. It was a passenger bus. And then in 1979, I was 19 years old. I went into full-time ministry as a youth minister. I was working with a brother who had been very instrumental in my getting saved. He's not the one who led me to Christ, but he was. When I looked at his life, I got really provoked to know more about Jesus Christ. I mean, to know Christ personally. I had been knowing about Jesus, but I didn't know him personally. And then in 1982, the Lord led my wife and I to start a work in Zimbabwe. We started doing outreaches at camps, and we started the fellowship in 1982 September. And when we started in 82 September, it was the first Sunday service. It was just the two of us, my wife and I. Sometimes I say we're three, because my wife was pregnant and we're expecting our first child. And there's something I experienced. Some turning. One of the things which I had not mentioned, which was really a turning point in my life, is that in 1978, I went into a youth outreach office, and I came across materials by Dr. T.L. Osborne. And when I came across materials by Dr. T.L. Osborne, he was teaching on faith is testimony, the integrity of God's word. And what he was talking about really is something which Pastor Vaughn said earlier on. He was talking about the fact that there are things that God has already given us, which we should not even bother to ask God for those things, but we need just to thank God. One of those things which he mentioned was that we have got the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He mentioned that, I remember him mentioning, because God used him really to get this truth across to me. He mentioned that Jesus said, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, Samaria, even unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so he said, if you have received the Holy Spirit, since Jesus does not lie and he speaks only the truth, it means you received the power. And not to say that you cannot increase in the anointing, but you have power. And so I believed that I had power. And from that time onwards, I was a teenager. In my preaching, I would pray for the sick, and the sick were getting healed. Casting out demons in Jesus' name. Pray with other young people, and they would be born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. We're having war in our country at that time. And we would be going, God connected me with a brother who was an army chaplain, and we used to go into war zones. I mean, literal military war zones, where guns were being shot on a regular basis. And we would go there and I would preach to the military in our country, in the bush, and they would get saved. And I would pray for them concerning healing. They would lay hands on their bodies. I would tell them, lay hands where your sickness is. And then after that, we would pray. Would, would, would com- command sickness to leave, and I would tell them to put their faith into action, and they would receive healing. Many a time they would be shocked, those soldiers. They would be, and more than once I would be preaching, and there would be other soldiers surrounding us with guns because it was in combat zone. And you know, I've always desired the truth in God's word from the time I got born again. Before I received Jesus, I was a radical for the devil. And after I received Jesus Christ, I wanted everything God had for me. And as I wanted God everything God had for me, I also wanted everything which the Bible says is mine. And I came from a religious background even before I was saved. I was going to a church, and yet I was not born again. So that one thing which I the denomination I grew up in, they did not believe that you could be filled with the Holy Spirit today and speak in other tongues. They did not believe that you can receive healing. They didn't believe in laying hands on the sick. But when I saw it in the Bible, I went for it. Amen. I said, I want it. I remember sitting down with the Reverend. He was an old man, gray-haired, at the Dutch Reformed Church Mission where I grew up. And we're going through verses. And he was telling me those things are over. But I was just talking with him through the word of God. I've really seen God's faithfulness. I thank God for the man God used to lead me to Christ, Patrick Johnston. He works with Operation Mobilization. And we sat down one night in 1976, and he shared with me directly the way of salvation. And when he shared with me the way of salvation, he prayed with me. And after he prayed with me, there's something which the Lord opened my spirit to, which, I mean, I thank God for Patrick. Because Patrick said to me, you have asked Jesus to come into your life. Jesus is now in you. And he said, you might ask, how do I know? And then he said, you know that is in you because he said so. He said, if you open the door for me, I'll come into you. He said, it's nothing about how you feel. That was the first time I heard about faith. That faith is taking God at his word. And I've lived by faith in God over the years. And I've experienced victory over sinful habits through faith. Amen. After I received Jesus Christ, one of the problems that really wanted to follow me, and it was pestering me, was lust. Lust of the flesh. And I cried. I fasted. I sought counsel. And I was saying, God, deliver me, please. I don't want this lust in my life. But I want to thank God that there are some things which God showed me in his word. And he gave me victory in that area. I want to thank God that now I've got a pure eye. And I want to thank God that now this body, I keep it under subjection. Amen. In the name of Jesus. I've been married for 28 years to my wife, and I've kept myself for my wife, and I've never slept with any other woman, and I don't desire any other woman. And but I want to show you some scriptures in God's word, because sometimes we jump, we shout, and yet secretly we are struggling. And because we are struggling, what happens is then at a certain juncture, some news come up that brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so or preacher so-and-so has fallen into sin. And why? Because we were what? We were struggling with something in secret. Mm. And but there is victory in Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. I also want to thank God that before I received Jesus, I was very feeble physically, very susceptible to sickness. But after I received Jesus Christ, I learned from God's word, divine health. And as I learned concerning divine health, I want to thank God that I'm walking in divine health. And not only walking in divine health, but also one of the amazing things that is happening in our church is people are walking in divine health through faith in God's word. Because God is Jehovah Rapha. He is our healer. And also, through faith, we are walking in prosperity. We are seeing God working. I will take you to some scriptures. I'm just giving you, I'm just sharing with you any testimony away. Beginning of this year, or maybe let me roll back a little bit. Our nation has unemployment of nearly 90%. That's Zimbabwe. And our economy is doing so bad so that we no longer have our own money. We now use the American dollar, the rand, and the pula, or any currency which is of value, but mainly those three. But when things were going bad in our country, one thing God really spoke to my heart was that we needed to, to continue to operate kingdom principles of prosperity as we had always been. Tithing, even as a ministry, giving to the poor, sowing into other ministries. Like, we've got ministries in our own country. When God blesses us, we take a chunk and we sow it into another ministry. We have seen God take us through. Amen. Over the years, one of the things that, as I'm standing before you right now, I have a container in customs in our country, which we are clearing. But since 2004, we have been receiving containers, one after another. And some of the containers, we don't even know who pays for those containers. They cost about $11,000 to ship a container. And we are feeding hungry people. And we are supporting people. Amen. And the other thing again, we started drilling water wells in villages and also in our city. And as we started drilling water wells, we're paying something. One of the water wells, this church helped us. That's the well which we put at our house. Pastor Vaughn, God moved his heart, and I think he shared with some of you. And we drilled a water well at our house. And those water wells, just the well alone drilling, would cost about 4,200 plus. You'd have to do the pumps and the plumbing and other things. But beginning of this year, we have seen God do wonderful things. And one of the things which has happened is about 3 weeks ago, I got a phone call from one of the companies that we used to hire for drilling water wells. And the phone call was, in fact, the man said he wanted to meet me and my wife. It was a Saturday. They came. I thought maybe they are having marriage problems or something like that. And they came, and when they came to our office, we were sitting, we prayed, and then we just released God's presence in our gathering. And as we prayed, after praying, the man said to me, the Lord had moved their hearts that they needed to sow the well drilling equipment to our ministry. He bought that equipment for $250,000 from South Africa and US dollars in the 90s. And now it is a value of over 83,000. Right now we are in communication with a company in South Africa called Superrock, where he bought that equipment. And we are seeing God working in wonders. Beginning of this year, a certain man came to our church and he's talking with business people in our fellowship. And as he's talking, I see him. I remember he took his hand and he put it in his inside pocket. And then he walked towards me and he gave me cash, $10,000 towards building project we are building. We are building a big facility, but we are doing it cash. If you move in our city of Harare, most people are not building. But God's word works. Amen. You know, God's word works. I heard that the US dollar's value is going down. But I want to tell you something. The word of God's value does not go down. God's word works. And God is no respecter of persons. I often say, if God provided manna for the children of Israel when they were in the desert, where there was no street address. But the wind brought the quail in the morning. The Holy Spirit, He is able to bring whatever we need wherever we are. Now, I want to take you to the scriptures concerning overcoming sinful habits. Can we all say overcoming sinful habits? Let's go to Romans. Romans first. We'll go to Romans first. Romans chapter 6 from verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Can we all say, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? We are dead to what? Hallelujah. Can you say, I am dead to sin? Because God says I'm dead to sin. See, the day I believed that I was dead to sin, because of the finished work of Christ, I started to see manifestations of victory. He says, know ye not that so many as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death. Now, the Bible tells us about doctrines of baptisms, and one of the doctrines of baptisms is that we were, the Holy Spirit baptized us into the body of Christ. Can we all say the Holy Spirit, baptized my spirit into the body of Christ? Right. And he says, now Paul here is saying, we're baptized into his death. It means according to God. You and me, as we are reading here, we died to sin. And now, God does not have optical illusion. If God says, I'm dead to sin, I say, be it unto me according to thy word. Like what Mary said. Because even as ministers, how many times have we heard that apostle so-and-so, prophet so-and-so, evangelist so-and-so, teacher so-and-so, pastor so-and-so, well-known man of God has fallen? And what are some of the things, some of the sins which people fall into are some of these moral issues. Fornication, adultery, homosexuality. But you know, Jesus said sin starts in the heart. That's right. Amen. Amen. It means the enemy works on putting sin in the heart. He says, out of that heart comes. That's Mark 7. That's right. He listed a number of things. But according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, looking at the finished work of Christ, I died to sin, it means I died to fornication. That's right. I died to sin, it means I died to adultery. Amen. It means I died to oral sex. Amen. Amen. It means I died to impure imaginations. Verse 4, therefore, we are buried with him in baptism. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Amen. Verse 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Knowing this, can we all say knowing this? That our old man is crucified with him. And then it goes on to say that the body of sin might be destroyed. That henceforth we should not serve sin. Can I say my old man was crucified with Christ? Oh, let's say that my old man was crucified with Christ. You know, when I started to walk in victory, victory over oral sex, victory over fornication, victory over impure thinking, when I started to walk in victory, one thing because of this revelation, I never hit my chest and said, look what I have done. Because it's not me who did it. It's something which God did for me in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's move on. It says, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. You see, that old man, the descendant of Adam, crucified, died. Because the cross was a place of death. That old man who was a liar, that old man who was a thief, that old man who was jealousy, that old man who was proud, was crucified. And this is what the Lord has done for me. So I give him glory because it's not me, it's him who did it. Hallelujah. You see, I told you, I prayed, I cried, I fasted. Should we pray? Yes, we should pray. Should we fast? Yes, we should fast. But listen, we have to pray and fast biblically. There are certain things which, you know, it's like this. If you are hungry and there's food on the table, you don't call for a fast so that you can be able to eat the food. You eat the food. But there are times when you have to fast. Like Jesus said, this kind cometh not out except by prayer and fasting. There are times when we fast, we humble ourselves through fasting. The Bible, David says, I humble myself through fasting. Amen. All saints, fasting is New Testament. Because Jesus said, when you pray, right, when you give alms, then he said, when you fast. He didn't say, if you. Right. The fact that somebody did it wrong, it doesn't mean that it shouldn't be done right. Right. You don't throw away the baby with the bathwater. I know we like our food. But the Bible says in Acts 13, when there were certain prophets and teachers in Antioch, New Testament prophets, Paul was there too. The men who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, he was one of them. The Bible says, whilst they were fasting and ministering unto the Lord, the Holy Spirit said, separate for me Barnabas and Paul for the work which I have for them. Amen. Can we all say, I believe in New Testament fasting. Hallelujah. Alright, verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. I am freed. This is what the Holy Spirit is saying here. Hallelujah. And I got this revelation by the grace of God. Because what happens is, if you fast, and you don't have this revelation, if you were to have some kind of manifestation of victory. Because I know that there's a teaching that if you want to overcome lust, fast. Because when you are fasting, your flesh is weak and your eye is weak. That's My dear, if you fast for the whole of your life, you will die before your time. Because then you will need to be on a fast every day. Because you are going to see the opposite sex every day. You know, fasting does not change God, but it changes me. But whilst it changes me, fasting, I'm just humbling myself. And the Bible says God gives grace to the humble. And as I'm humbling myself, it just helps me as I do it in faith. And the Bible says everything we do must do it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. And I'm asking God to give me revelation of this. More revelation. Because I want to tell you something. This set me free. This revelation. That I died. My old man was crucified with Christ. It set me free. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's keep on reading here. It says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye yourself to be dead indeed unto sin. Can we all say likewise?
Likewise.
Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then he says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Amen. See, there is work which the Lord did for us in Christ. And we are free through Christ. But in the next 8 minutes which I have, I want to just show us in God's word what we are to do. Because there's God's part and then there's my part.
That's right.
Or if we are together, let's shout amen.
Amen.
All right. Let's go to Romans. Romans 8. And let's start with Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What is my part? See, God did for me in Christ what I could not do for myself. And what I need to do is, the first thing, of course, I need to accept what God has done for me in Christ. But after I accept, here is my other part. I must present my body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God.
Amen.
Can we all say, I must present my body. Yeah, nobody does it for you.
Right.
Nobody does it for me. Each one of us, we have to present our bodies. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, bishops, archbishops, the Pope, everybody must present his or her body as a living sacrifice to God.
Right.
Because our spirits are born again, but our bodies are not. And then Paul says again, be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Can we all say, I must get my mind renewed. And this leads to my transformation. Amen. Hallelujah. See, I must get my mind renewed by God's word. I must meditate on what God has done for me in Christ. I must know, you know, I died with Jesus. I was buried with Christ. I rose with Christ. I'm seated together with Christ in the heavenly places. My life is it together with Christ in the heavenly places. But having said all that, you don't go to the mountain and you have an all-night prayer meeting with Sister Janet and your brother Jack. And the two of you have no biological relationship. And somehow you're attracted to each other, but you're going to have a spiritual time. First of all, the Bible says, flee all appearances of evil.
That's right. That's right.
1 Thessalonians 5. Let's go there. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. Can we all say abstain?
Abstain
from all? It doesn't say some, it says all appearance of evil. Amen.
Amen.
It means not just evil, but even what looks like evil. Why? Because one, I love God. Two, I don't want to, let's not play on the edge.
Yeah, come on, brother. Come
in the name of being spiritual. Because we need to know that the devil has knocked down people who knew the Bible better than us.
That's right. Come on, sir.
People who were well known better than us. And let's just be smart in the Lord and just do the word.
Come on, sir.
I will not have any woman close to me who does not want to be close to my wife. Because, hey, there are some sisters who say the pastor is anointed, but mama or the wife, there's a big gap between the wife and the men of God. If they try to set appointments to talk to me, I send them to my wife. If they don't want to talk to my wife, I don't want to talk to them. That's for me in the Lord. We need to have practical disciplines as men of God. Some of us are men of God. Some of us are getting into ministry, but we need to have disciplines. Some good old Christian ministerial ethics. No man of God ever fell because he failed to cast out a demon, but because of character. But thank God, in Christ we have victory.
Yes.
But let's be wise. Flee all appearance of evil. And also, Rudy, you can help me with that verse. I didn't mark it. It says, the man of God, Pastor Mike, he should know where it is. it says, neither give place to the devil. Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4, it says, neither give place to the devil. It means we must not create opportunities for Satan to knock us down. Amen?
Amen.
So the Lord has done his part. Glory to God. But saints, our flesh is not saved. Our heads are not saved. We must be, that's why we must guard what we watch and what we read. Because we still live in these earthly vessels. And you can get stimulated in the wrong direction.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We need charisma in the body of Christ. But we need character. The Bible does not say seek peace with all men and casting out of demons, without which no man shall see God. It says, and holiness, without which no man shall see God. Let me give you one more scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves. Can we all say,
let us
cleanse ourselves?
Yes.
It says, let us cleanse ourselves. This is Paul writing. From all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. What are the promises? God says, I'll live in them. I'll walk in them. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And then he says, I'll be your God. You'll be my people. And then it goes on. You see, the chapters, I like what Brother Copeland said. He says, the words are anointed, but the numbers are not. So the chapters were put in by our early church fathers. But it continues. That's why Paul says, having these promises, what he has just finished talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, let us cleanse ourselves. Let's wash ourselves with the word continuously. Because sometimes you see thoughts that want to come on you which are not love thoughts. Pastor Rudy was talking about love. Sometimes thoughts of bitterness, resentment, hostility, they want to stay in you. And you're a child of God, and you're even a man of God. Let's cleanse ourselves. Let's wash ourselves with the word. The Bible talks about the washing of water by the word of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Pastor Vaughn, can you give me 5 minutes?
Sure.
Thank you. Because let's go to Galatians chapter 6, verse 14. Galatians 6, verse 14. It says, Galatians 6, verse 14 says, but God forbid that I should glory serving the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I to the world. Can we all say, but God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of Jesus? Because in the cross of Jesus I was crucified, I died to the world, and the world unto me. I what? I was crucified, which means I died to the world. It's past tense. It happened.
Amen.
When Jesus died nearly 2,000 years ago, I was crucified to the world and the world to me. The word world, I don't know if anyone knows more. I've discovered three references to the word world in the Bible. One talks about the planet Earth, Psalms 33, two people, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's not talking about the planet, it's talking about the people. And then three, there's a reference talking about Satan's system of sin. And we come across this in 1 John chapter 2, where it says, that which is in the world is not of the Father. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. It's not of the Father. When the serpent tempted Eve in the garden, it was in these three areas. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. When Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness, it was in these three areas. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. We are dealing with the same devil. He comes with the lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. But what did God do? The Bible says, we're crucified to the world.
Amen.
Means I was crucified to the lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, yes, and the pride of life. I died. But after God did that, I must also do my part, as I shared with you.
Amen.
Present my body. Paul also says, mortify the deeds of the flesh through the Spirit in Romans 8. And then I must get my mind renewed. And then I must not give Satan open the door for the enemy.
That's right.
I must not create circumstances for the enemy to tempt me so that I fall. Because Paul says in one place, as I close, he says, let him who thinketh he is standing be careful,
right,
lest he fall.
But
this is not for us to fear. We are not ignorant of the devil's device, the Bible tells us. God has already provided victory for us. And I want to tell you something. There is victory, real victory, in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.